Welcome to Mental Health Success Stories with John Troutman. Here we provide a space for authentic conversations about real-world mental health challenges. We discuss mental health solutions with national industry leaders. We aim to reduce stigma and increase awareness around mental health issues. We will inspire you to take action and improve your own mental health. We will share and promote realistic mental health solutions that anyone can implement. This podcast is provided to you for information purposes only to encourage a broad public understanding of various mental health topics. The podcast may represent the views and opinions of the author, host, and/or guests, and not necessarily the views and opinions of Pyramid Healthcare. Information contained in this podcast should not be relied upon as medical advice or as a substitute for medical advice. This podcast does not establish any doctor-patient relationship and is not a substitute for individual clinical judgment. If you need medical advice or you are experiencing a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. And now here is our host of Mental Health Success Stories, John Troutman.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another great episode today. And I'm so excited to have Nancy Giacalone with us. So excited. I've been a follower of hers. Her recipe for success has been out there. She's doing such an amazing work across the country. And it's been such an honor to get to know her and to understand all the things that she does. And what an exciting show we're going to have today. Nancy, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. And every show, we're talking about mental health challenges and specifically interviewing the leaders in our industry, getting into the weeds, if you will, of mental health challenges, understanding what they went through as an individual, and then also talking about the most important piece, that success story that helped them move beyond that challenge or just make better versions of themselves. So again, just so glad you could be with us here today.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Excellent. So now, again, this is going to be in fourth quarter where people are going to be very busy. They're, you know, trying to accomplish a lot of things, and stress can be something that can be hopefully avoided and better maintained. But again, just so appreciate your willingness. But for those who might be watching or listening here today, help us understand the professional Nancy Giacalone. Just introduce yourself and what you would think would be very important information for them, professionally speaking.
Sure. So I am the owner, founder of a small boutique benefits agency in lovely Gig Harbor, Washington, which I'm sure no one's ever heard of, but we're about 40 minutes southwest of Seattle, so in the Pacific Northwest. I started it 26 years ago, and I have a small staff of about 5 employees, and that's my professional summary in a nutshell.
Excellent. And again, I can only say, and I need to speak personally here about you professionally, you've been a big part of my success as an individual. You're inspiration to me on a daily basis, whether or not you realize that with your posts and how you genuinely care down to the individual's life professionally. That is transformational, and you are making such a larger impact than what you ever know. And again, it just really means the world to me that you could be here, and just speaks so powerfully of your agency as well. So thank you for what you do, but also how you do it.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah. And personally, so again, you and I have had discussions. I've been transparent with you that I'm a weather weenie. We won't go down that road today. This is your turn to help us see a side of Nancy. I mean, we know that you're interested in cooking, right? If you have a recipe for success, but what are some other things you think would be advantageous for people to know about you personally?
Well, I do love cooking. I used to even have my own cooking blog, but again, with running a business and stress and everything, sometimes you have to let things go. So that has kind of faded in the background. I like things that go fast, I'm going to say that. I actually met my husband when I was racing cars. So yes, I like anything that goes fast. I like old cars. I like fast boats. I just enjoy that whole thing. I like the outdoors. I love hanging with my friends. I love a good laugh. I love my family. And of course, I love my three dogs, three adorable German Shorthaired pointers.
No, you've been very, you clarified your pets there, which is wonderful. Help us understand your family dynamic. You spoke about loving your family. Are there children? If so, what does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been married for, now I have to do the math on this because I'm starting to lose track. So this year will be 37 years to my wonderful
Congratulations.
husband, Jim. And we were blessed with one child, Nick, who works for me. He's worked for me for about 8 years. And then last year, we were absolutely blessed to welcome Jasmine into our family when Nick got married. So we have a small family. My mom lives up here. My sister lives up here. My dad passed away last year. But a small family, but very close. And we thoroughly enjoy each other.
That's wonderful. And that itself can be a big part of both your professional success as well as personal success when it comes to mental health. So again, just so appreciate you being transparent. Again, this program is all about talking about mental health challenges, and many people oftentimes think that they need to be diagnosed with some condition right before they get the help they need, or they need to be told that, they have this mental health situation. But life can present very challenging circumstances and situations that we need some mental health adjustment to be a better version of ourselves. So again, this program is about taking down those barriers and helping people take action. And really, it's your opportunity to share, whatever story or even stories, if you will, those things that have been a challenge for you. So where would you like this to go from here? And feel free to share whatever challenge you want to share today.
Well, I think I have a few stories that a lot of people can probably relate to. One thing I think that we don't recognize enough in our country as a mental health challenge is stress. And stress has made me physically sick in the past, especially in, like we mentioned, in our industry, we get into what we call fourth quarter. It's our busy season. We work very hard and things are very intense. And in years past, I have found myself ill during fourth quarter and continuing to work through it because there wasn't really an option. I would lose my voice. I would get sick because of the toll that stress took on my body. So I think it's something that we do need to be more cognizant of is the damage that the stress can do to us and talk to those that can give us support in managing that stress. It's not always an option to just not do the work. The work still needs to be done, but what are the tools that we can use to manage our mental and physical health while we're dealing with a stressful situation? So I think that's super important. What are your thoughts on that, John?
No, I think that's exactly right. And self-awareness is a big part of that. And many people don't know that they're under that stress. They're just adding to it. I think we are in an industry, particularly for this time of the year, where this is going to be viewed or being listened to, where people can just have that mentality of, I'll just get it done. I'll just wait until January till I can feel better. And that may not be the best solution, right?
Exactly. And another thing that I think is really interesting is I'm a business owner, as I mentioned. And so not only do I have my own workload, but I'm responsible for my employees as well. I'm responsible for their mental health and their happiness and their productivity. And it's a lot to balance because I want the best productivity and the best results for my business, but as a human being, I want the best for them individually as well. And that might not always be working for me. And over this last year, I have, let's say, transitioned three employees to find places that were better for them. And that was a really tough call. It was hard on me to make that decision and to know that they weren't where they needed to be. Now, I could simply say, okay, see you later. Here's your last check. But that's just not me. That doesn't feel good to me. So we've usually come up with a plan, a set time period. I will support, give them support to find a new position because I don't want them to be here if they're not happy for them. And I also don't want them to be here if they're not happy for me, because that creates a work environment that can be uncomfortable for people.
Yeah, that is very well said, and congratulations for having that mindset and that plan in place. But I think also, to your credit, you're also going to build that all-star team you're looking for, because not everybody is an all-star, right? And
They're not.
you're exactly right. But not every person in your role is willing to see it that way. If you're comfortable with it, I'm just going to ask, we're going to go backwards a little bit. So I know a lot of things about you, so that helps me. That helps me understand, right, where you're coming from. So, you're a very self-motivated person, right? You do a lot of things that manifest this. What was it for you that allowed this self-awareness to realize, you know what? I need to make some improvements where it comes to my stress, because I think a lot of people will just hunker down, persevere, push forward, and not do whatever they need to do. You mentioned an example of some things that you could do as an owner. But what was that defining moment, or what was that period of time that helped you understand, you know what, I'm under stress here. Maybe I should tweak a few things.
It's interesting you ask that question because I can actually define the moment when I realized this was out of control. I was hosting Thanksgiving dinner for our family, which, we don't have a huge family, but if you know me and I'm hosting dinner, it's a nice dinner. There's a lot of things that go into it. At the same time, I'm trying to make dinner and do everything. I've got my laptop on the counter trying to close out somebody's open enrollment for fourth quarter and get a submission done. And of course, I'm probably don't have a voice at that point in time because that's way stress tends to manifest itself in my body. And my husband looked at me and he's like, this isn't okay, right? And I'm like, yeah, I know it's not okay. And so I took steps to create a better situation.
Well, interesting around the whole concept of Thanksgiving, right? You could be thankful for that Thanksgiving day, just what how that could help transform you and help you really the rest of your life. Wow, I did not know this story. That's amazing.
So anyway, that was really when I knew that I needed to start changing. And I think as crazy as it sounds, I learned so much from co during the COVID lockdown. I had the opportunity to participate in things that I had not participated in before. I had the opportunity to connect to people I hadn't connected to before. And I think I got a lot more clarity on what I needed in my life and what needed to go. And so that really gave me more confidence in making some of those harder decisions and, taking the steps that I needed to take.
Yeah, would you say that learning experience of going through, reducing your stress, better managing your stress, and I'm going to ask you a little bit, what steps you took or what things you're doing to help, but do you think having a reduced stress has helped you see things a little more clearly, or help you maybe look back over your past a little more clearly, look to the future clearly? What are some benefits that you've experienced?
I think all of those things, but I would say more than anything, it has positively impacted my decision making, both personally and as a leader. When you're so stressed out, sometimes you can't see clearly in order to see, okay, how do I clear this path to get to where I want to go? Instead, you're just, bushwhacking away and you really can't see what's in front of you.
Excellent, excellent, and great imagery there as well. I know you get into workouts. I know you're very committed there. You have your routine, but what are some things that you've done to implement a better version of Nancy throughout the years, whether it's stress or maybe perhaps it's something else with your mental health? What are some things that you've done for a better version of you?
A couple things for me. Absolutely, I need to get my sleep. I am one of those people that requires sleep. I don't always get it because my brain starts racing, but when I get quality sleep, about 7 hours is kind of my requirement. If I get that, I'm much better. Exercise is huge. I don't work out every single day like you do, but I do have a routine that I stick to, and when I stick to it, I feel so much better. I have more energy, I have more mental clarity, I definitely have reduced stress. Eating well, getting outside, fresh air is huge for me. One of the reasons that we're in the process of building out our amazing outdoor kitchen right now is so that we can spend more time outside, even in the winter. And we're in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, it's rainy in the winter, but we have a nice structure that we've created. Fresh air does wonders for my soul, and I think my stress levels as well.
Yeah, that's interesting that you tied me into there when it comes to workouts. I had a flight last night, didn't get in till 1 o'clock in the morning. I sat next to a lady who was clearly in a good relationship with cats, and I'm allergic to cats. So I had to make a decision. Either I can get up in 2 hours and start my workout and feel miserable about it and just barely get through, or I can give myself some grace and sleep until a much later time and recover from there. So that's a hard thing for me to do, but I think you've done that from talking to you as well about giving yourself grace, listening to your body. How much has that played a part? Because you are a self-motivated person. You started this industry when a lot of females were not involved, and you've proven that you can be very successful in it. So how has taking breaks or taking pauses or even a stop been a part of your success as well?
I would say it's huge, particularly when it comes to things that I have mentally committed to, because I will just use a workout routine as an example. I can get it in my head that I need to work out 5 days a week, and I will punish myself to do that. And that's not always the best thing for me. And especially as I am getting older, I have realized that my body, I have to listen to it. I have to be careful with it. I have to take better care of it. And some days it's just not the right choice for me that day to work out. I can work out again tomorrow. It's not going to go away. That opportunity is not going to go away. I just don't need to do it today. And the same thing with commitments. I used to overcommit myself to a lot of things. I'm much more comfortable with saying no to friends, family, coworkers, industry people. And when I say no, I mean, it's just simple. I don't have to have a reason. I don't have to give you a reason. I can just simply and kindly say, no, that's not going to work out for me right now. And I'm good with that. And I did not used to be good with that. I used to think that if I was invited to something or somebody asked me to do something, I had to say yes. And not only did I have to say yes, but I probably had to be in charge. So I
I
backed off on that a lot.
love it. I love it. Yeah.
So I did want to share, and I don't think you know this actually, but there was one time, it's about 5 years ago, I went through a lawsuit. My business was going well, and I had somebody come to me and was leaving an agency and wanted to come on, and this person supposedly specialized in large group and was going to bring a book of business. And I thought, well, I did not have the confidence in myself. And I thought, well, this person is going to bring a lot of skills and talent and resources to the table that I don't have. Well, it turned out I discovered pretty quickly that I already had those skills and talents and resources, and that person actually didn't. So I invited them to take their book that we had not done anything, take their book and go start their own agency. It seemed like a better choice. And there were some very disreputable actions taken by the other person, which resulted in me basically taking a stand and saying that's not true. And they lost some business because of it and decided that they would sue me for half of my agency. It was probably one of the most stressful things that I've ever been through as a professional. All my employees had to give depositions. I had to give depositions. My husband had to give depositions. It went on and on. And it was so difficult to sit and listen to untruths, all the while I'm paying tremendous amounts of money to defend myself. I finally got to the point where we settled. I said, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I could have taken it to court, but we were a whole year deep into it and a whole lot of dollars. And I decided for my mental health that being right or winning was not worth the cost of being happy. And I had to really have that. My husband and I sat down and we just decided, I'm like, this is killing me. I'm paralyzed. I don't feel that I'm worthy because this has happened to me. I can't go out and I felt like I had been destroyed. And so I had to figure out how to get through that and how to get past it. And it was a small, tiny little step at a time. And that was during that period of time was when I became the convert of, I will not leave the house until my bed is made every single morning, every single bed in the house is made, because I knew for sure I had done one good and right thing that day. And that was a coping mechanism for me, but not a negative one. It was a good coping mechanism that helped me move through that period. And then once I got out of it, you know, try to regain my footing and my confidence, and knowing that I hadn't done anything wrong. I just found myself in a bad circumstance, and a lot of people find themselves in bad circumstances.
Well, that's a very powerful story. I did not even know this occurred, but I think it can speak to everyone in life, because there are things that happen to us, whether it's business or life, where we can have either the victim mindset or the victor mindset. That victim, yes, technically, were you a victim? Absolutely. But did you stay there? No, you did not. You chose to be the victor and look for solutions, look for ways, as you said, just to be better and do better every single day, even if it meant you through going through a set of a routine. That was progress. So how much of that was real for you in trying to battle a victim mindset? Like, because I think it's natural for everyone, you know, to go through that at some point in whatever that challenge may be, that we feel like, I can't believe this happened. It's a part of accepting that. Was there a time where you felt like, boy, just hard to get out of a mixed victim mindset, or wasn't that even an issue for you?
Oh, 100% it was an issue. I had the big victim written right across my forehead for close to a year. It took a long time to get out of that. And it took a long time to stop being so angry. Mm. I was so angry that had happened to me. And I couldn't understand it. So this has been, I don't know, 5+ years ago now, but there are moments when that anger still bubbles up in me, but 99% of the time I can think about that person, I can think about what happened, and I don't have any ill feelings other than the fact that that happened. It is what it is. I feel bad for that person, because if that's the way they want to live their life, it can't be a very good way to live it. And that's really how I try to keep things in my mind, is that I feel sorry for that person. I don't need to feel sorry for me, because I didn't do anything wrong.
Very powerful statement there. Looking back on that time, you mentioned, you know, it was very difficult, you know, and feeling angry, and let's just call it what it is. Emotions are a good part in our lives, that we feel certain ways, right? Because they're showing some type of validity there of what's going on within us. But was there a certain point in time you realized, you know what, I'm not going to let myself respond to this way, or I'm not going to do things this way. I need to focus on the solution. Was there a mindset shift, or was it just slowly over time that you were able to let go of some of these extremes and be better managing towards a victor mindset? What did that look like? Because I think a lot of people can get stuck in a victim mindset, where they might have the mind of knowing that there are solutions there, but taking action is something totally different.
It really is. And I think, honestly, when I made the decision to take the action to settle and get out of that, I knew I was at the end. I was at my breaking point, and I had a choice. I could decide to be happy, or I could decide to stay and try to be right. Mm. But the thing is, I knew I was right. I just didn't need to prove it. Mm. So that was really the big thing, is I didn't need to prove it. And also I spent that year, and probably sometime after that, either not writing business or losing business. Hmm. And it had nothing to do with the lawsuit, but it had everything to do with the lawsuit, because in my mind, I felt I was no longer worthy. It wasn't my client saying, "Ooh, you're in a lawsuit, we don't want to do business with you," or a potential client saying, "Ooh, you're in a lawsuit, we don't want to do business with you." It was me saying, "You're probably not going to want to do business with me, because, you know, I'm in this terrible situation, and I'm probably not good enough for you." Mm. And I had to look at that and realize that was happening to me, to decide to do something different. So I think that self-reflection is hard, but it's critical to changing where you're at. You have to know where you're at to do something different.
Yeah, that's very powerful words right there. Just understanding where you are in that whole picture. And you brought this up a number of times, and it's been said, you know, talking about mental health regarding stress, that it isn't the stress itself, but it's how we manage that. How much has that been a part of it in learning how to better manage it for you?
I'd like to tell you that I'm a skilled ninja stress management, but I'm not. I still get, I can get pretty amped up. I'm kind of a higher energy person anyway, and don't sit around a lot. So sometimes I think I bring on my own stress because it's a terrible thing to say, and I probably shouldn't even admit it, but I think I do bring some of it on myself because I want that adrenaline up a little bit. So I've gotten better at it. I, of all things, do puzzles sometimes because they help me de-stress. I have to focus on something that doesn't really require me to think about anything else. And that's the thing I enjoyed about it, is it cleared my mind to focus on one thing and just to kind of let everything else go. And I think everybody needs something like that, whether that be exercise, reading. I love to read, but the last couple of years I haven't been as good at reading just because, again, my brain is going in too many directions and I haven't allowed myself to slip into the enjoyment of a book the way that I used to. So I think a great tip for anybody is find something that allows you to disengage your mind. That's why I like cooking too. Baking, it's something I have to pay attention to. And when I'm paying attention to that, I can't be thinking about 10 other things.
Again, such powerful words there. You know, the data speaks to everything that you just explained. You know, I was told a long time ago that just taking a 10-minute break, turning off my phone, going for a walk, just disengaging myself mentally from what I'm doing, taking that 10-minute break, I would return back to my job and be 87% more productive. Wow, that's an impressive number. But taking that action, we sometimes go into almost a self-destruct mode, thinking that, well, I'm just being selfish if I'm doing that, right? Or I just can't. Has that ever been a part of your equation when it's come to mental health of battling, well, I don't really deserve that time, or I shouldn't really take that time. I can just press on. Has that been part of the equation at all?
Of course it has. You know, and I think that honestly, women are worse about that than men are, because we tend to want to take care of everybody and everything, and sometimes forget to take care of ourselves in the process. And so, yes, absolutely, taking time for myself can and still sometimes does feel selfish to me. I know it's not, but I have to fight that little demon in my head.
That's great. Well, again, I'm not going to raise your stress level and bring up the topic of declining customer service across this country.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's one I know you and I share that passion for doing things the right way and taking care of people down to the individual. Yeah. And that's huge. But as we're thinking about advisors dealing with fourth quarter, sometimes they set themselves up for more stress because they lay out this, oh no, kind of like as a parent, you mentioned about having Nick, you know, I have four children and we were told early on, oh, beware of the terrible twos. Well, I don't know, maybe it was an anomaly, but we never saw those terrible twos, but that was our mindset. We were investing in our kids on a daily basis. How much of that would you say, or what might you speak to these advisors who are looking at the fourth quarter, or maybe they're feeling that pressure now, just to take better care of themselves today, as opposed to waiting till January or February? What are some things you might say to them to be a better version right now?
Well, I do think that during fourth quarter, good nutrition, good sleep, and good exercise are more important than ever, because we can't ignore the fact that it is a more stressful time of year than the rest of the year. The volume of work that we do is tremendous. Good sleep, good exercise, good nutrition. On top of that, be organized. Don't chaos creates more stress. So eliminate any opportunities for stress that you can. So have a plan. If you haven't already have everything laid out for fourth quarter right now, do it now. Do not waste any more time, but have a process that you follow through. Have really good communication with your coworkers, with your staff, on where you're at, what needs to be done, making sure that everybody is supporting everybody else, and have a little bit of fun. I mean, that is a key to getting through. Have a good laugh. Take your team out to lunch. Tell a stupid joke in the office, but lighten the mood. It doesn't, just because we're working hard doesn't mean it has to be hard.
Yeah, those of you who are following Nancy on LinkedIn, I mean, you can see that she's not just giving bullet points of something that's been written in a book. She's speaking from reality. I've seen this, and I've been following her for years, and she practices what she preaches. So she backs it up, and that is so very powerful. So for those people who may want to connect with you, I mean, I'm a huge fan of you, Nancy, and I can say to our audience out there, if you're looking for a speaker to talk about really any topic in your area of expertise, they need to reach out to you. What's the best way for them to reach out to Nancy?
You can always connect with me on LinkedIn. My name, Nancy Giacalone. You can email me, nancy@olympiccrest.com, or visit my website, olympiccrest.com as well. I'm always happy to speak. I'm happy to be a guest on a podcast. I'm happy to help you or just give you input if I can. Because as John, you well know, that one of my core tenets is to leave a legacy. And I want to leave a legacy in this industry. I want to leave it better than when I came into it. I want to leave my agency better than when I started it. And in some way, I would like to leave people better than they were before they knew me.
Yeah, I know this, and I've seen it firsthand. That's fantastic. Any final thoughts here today you'd like to pass on to the audience before we wrap things up?
Well, you know how passionate I am about mental health, and I do believe that it is one of the dark areas we still don't talk about adequately. We throw it around now because it's kind of a popular phrase, but I don't think we take the time to understand really how it impacts us and everybody around us. If you have access to an employee assistance program like John's through Mazzetti and Sullivan, make sure that you understand the benefits that are there to you. And when you're under stress, don't think, oh, maybe I should call them. Just pick up the phone and call, because it can mean all the difference in the world to you. If you don't have something like that available, reach out to somebody. And just talk to somebody. Talking is a game changer.
It really is. And Nancy, again, I want to thank you so much for being on today's show. It's always a privilege and an honor, and I'm just so grateful to have you as a strategic partner, but so humbled to even be able to say that you're a dear friend of mine as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, John. It was a lot of fun.
And everyone watching, in case you missed some of this show, just want to give you a couple of quick takeaways. She spoke about when you're going through stress, about taking those opportunities to invest in yourself, having that self-awareness to see yourself. It's mental health is not like breaking an arm or having a scar that can be seen. Taking that time. And if you're struggling and you can't really feel or understand it, she mentioned, use that service that you have. Take the effort to take the call. You are worth that time and effort. And again, I need to just reiterate this, what Nancy shared. She drives her business and her benefit down to individuals' lives. She doesn't look at it as a necessarily overall just by income, but also in making an impact. And that itself can be very beneficial in lowering our stress. So to the advisors out there, fourth quarter, I hope you take a great note to this wonderful time with Nancy as she explains some very practical ways of things we all can do. We don't have to pay to do them. We just need to take the time to invest in ourselves, because your mental health matters. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Let's make it a great day.